God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, let there be light. Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. Hey, I normally don't talk about the personal note this early in the program. We wrap up the show that way. If you don't normally make it to the last segment, it's a tradition I began years ago on local radio where I don't really script. I mean, we don't script the show, but we have audio clips pulled and some things we're going to cover. So Randy and I are on the same page. Randy's producer behind the scenes. Today, if you've ever traveled and come back changed, I've done that, but not the way I was changed in Mexico. And I've talked a little bit about this week. Or last week when I was in Mexico, but I finally distilled it down to a look on the faces of people when I went to the beach. And then a conversation with my friend Cesar, who took me to the airport on the way home. And I hope you'll stick around for that. We have a responsibility as Christians who travel, Christians who pay taxes, Christians who have been responsible, some of us, via our votes of Marco Rubio running the State Department, to do something very simple with our tourism dollars. I'll explain that in just a second. I was getting ready for the show this morning, and show prep never stops. That's what Rush Limbaugh, my radio mentor, said. God bless you, Rush. Thank you for building my career. Thank you, Rush. And my wife said, oh, you got your breaking news. The Pope has died. I've been talking to my wife about the news of the weekend being all the same two topics and wanting to go beyond that. I do pray for the Pope's soul because I have no idea where he's headed. That's a shocking thing to say. And so that people who are Catholic understand, I shouldn't doubt because God is magnificent and can do all things. I don't know that I would have become open to following Jesus were it not for the Catholic family, who is the son Matthew, is my dearest friend and brother. It's his music that opens and closes this program. You just heard On Top of the World. That is the bumper music that rolls under the open of the program. It wraps up with Do You Love Me, which is Matthew's meditation on the Lord Jesus saying to Peter, do you love me? And that's from his album Punch and Beauty, under the name Matt Bruno, if you ever want to download that. So he brought me to Jesus. I lived with his family, and it was the first intact home I've ever seen, had ever seen. And, well, that's not true. My grandma and grandpa were intact and died as an intact couple. But really the only one of peers I'd seen that was intact. So this doesn't come from an anti-Catholic perspective, far, far from it. It comes from a perspective of worry. And many of my friends who are Catholic, in fact, the Catholic family I just mentioned, has had great concerns about this Pope. Even as this past weekend, my godfather spoke the vigil prayer, the Catholic Church over Easter, that's become a tradition. He's gotten to do that to his great, great, great love and happiness to do that, and pride in the right way, the correct way of being proud of what God had done in Gary's life. So Pope Francis, I have no idea where he's gone. Do you know? And ultimately God decides, but based upon the fruits of his time at Pope, do you worry? It's unfair to judge a man by a quick video clip, usually. I don't think it's unfair here. This it worries me to the core. It worries me also to be offending Catholic listeners, to speak ill of the dead so quickly. I hope I'm not doing that. It's not my intent. But my intent is to speak of false teaching. And particularly when one is given so much, to whom much is given, much is expected. To have the Pope seemingly contradict the first commandment, love the Lord your God with your entire heart, mind, and soul, and strength. Have no gods above him. And then to violate Jesus's admonition against causing the little ones to stumble on their way to the Lord Jesus. Truly, I tell you, those who cause the little ones to stumble on their way to me would be better off with a millstone tied around their neck being tossed into the ocean. And it's my great fear that Pope Francis decided to do both of those things. If you remember, in this audio bite here, if you remember, Pope Francis wanted you to believe there are many ways to God, not a straight and narrow door that you must enter.
Ci vuole litigare.
Yes, it's okay to discuss and to...
Tutte le religioni sono un cammino per arrivare a Dio.
Because every religion is a way to arrive at God.
Sono, dirò una comparazione, sono come diverse lingue, diverse idiomi per arrivare lì.
Sort of a comparison, an example would be they're sort of like different languages in order to arrive at God.
Ma Dio è Dio per tutti.
But God is God for all.
E come Dio è Dio per tutti, noi siamo tutti figli di Dio.
And if God is God for all, then we're all sons and daughters of God.
Ma il mio Dio è più importante del tuo.
But my God is more important than your God.
È vero quello?
Is that true?
C'è un solo Dio. E noi sono idiomi, cammino, lingue per arrivare a Dio.
There's only one God, and each of us is a language, so to speak, in order to arrive at God.
Qualcuno è schi, qualcuno musulmano, qualcuno indi, qualcuno cristiano.
Indo,
Christian. Sono diversi cammini.
There are different paths.
Understood?
Oh, wow. Okay, let's take this bit by bit. Islam is not a language. It is a false belief. It's a false faith wedded to a political structure. It does not lead to God. Hinduism, a false faith that does not lead to God. And what concerns me here is the Pope has to know, or did. He's died, of course. And yes, I do pray for him. Absolutely. Because I pray for Catholics and because we are to pray for those that with whom we disagree. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one gets to the Father but through me. That is an exclusionary, declarative statement. It's exclusionary. Do people who die as practicing Hindus get to me? No. Or rather, get to the Father? No. Do Muslims who were super good, super nice people who performed acts of charity get to God the Father? No. Because they did not go through Jesus Christ. It's also an inclusionary statement. You too can choose Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You too can choose to welcome him as what he is, the Messiah. You too can choose to be saved by him, saved from something for something. All can make that decision. Pope Francis was a false teacher in that instance.
And he was the leader of one of the biggest collections of Christians in the world. And he was a false shepherd. And I'm praying for him, for his soul. Gladly, I'm not the judge, not the judge. We're called to be discerning, to check all spirits. Gladly, God Almighty is judge. And gladly, given the mistakes I've made, some of them nearly catastrophic in my life, but for God. I'm aware of the forest of trees sticking out of my eyes. I'm talking about the specks that were in those of Francis. There's a discussion, of course, now the conclave will meet. There will be a new pope. This is Bishop Athanasius Schneider, who many Catholics are calling to replace Pope Francis.
Yes, this is very serious. Now we are witnessing an invasion. They are not refugees. No, this is an invasion of mass Islamization of Europe, which already went on for at minimum 50, 60 years, the Islamization in Europe. But now it is in mass. It is very evident. And so this is a global political agenda by the powerful of the world to destroy Europe culturally and religiously. I mean, to destroy Christianity ultimately in Europe with the help of the Islamic, massive Islamic population. And I was reading recently an article of a sociologist who made a calculation that maybe in 30 or 40 years, when it's now going on, so the majority of the population of Europe will be Islamic. Europe will be Islamic when this will go on, because the European people have almost no children, one or two. The Muslims there, they have 5, 6 to 10 children. And so it is, you can only make mathematics, and then you can see that they will be in the majority.
So there are people who will say about that, well, that's political. That's not faith-based. Oh, no. No, taking entire countries and using replacement fact, it's not a theory. It's only a theory if it's not being practiced. They are replacing populations. They're doing it in Scotland. They're doing it in the UK. They're doing it in Germany and France. And yes, it is, in fact, destabilizing, clearly, unquestionably by design. Why? The Prince of the Air has been given a time to rule this planet. He doesn't want people following Jesus Christ. Some of us, he's happy to have us just nearly miss Jesus. In other cases, he's seizing entire countries through immigration. And of course, immigration front and center. In our country, this corrupt so-called Judge Boasberg is now pretending the Trump administration is in contempt of court. He's lying, because the Supreme Court has said that case doesn't count. It's done. So his order is now gone. Therefore, the president cannot stand in contempt of it. We also had John Roberts, who is good friends with a guy named Norm Eisen, who hates President Trump and is trying to take this country down. His court has said that the act under which President Trump has been trying to deport these 532,000 people Biden bought in en masse, it's not open to judicial review, really, but then it suddenly became open to judicial review at 1 o'clock in the morning. We may talk about that a bit, but when we come back, we'll get in the world and not of it. I'm Todd Herman. This is The Disciples' View. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. I mentioned that we might say a little bit of something about the immigration stuff in the Supreme Court. It is rather important. And it's also not as important as people are saying. The Roberts Court, and I should just state this very, very clearly, I don't trust Chief Justice John Roberts even a little bit because he's very, very happy from time to time to just pretend things. He pretended that in the case of Obamacare, the fines for not buying products you don't like from companies you don't like at prices you cannot afford for services you do not need, he pretended those fines were taxes, when in fact the government's entire testimony said there's not a single tax in Obamacare. To save Obamacare, John Roberts came along and said, yeah, they're taxes. He lied. He replaced the government's testimony with his own decision. He rewrote the bill so he could pretend it was constitutional. I don't trust him. Again, Obamacare. When red states had refused to implement the Obamacare exchanges, they were called, which weren't exchanges at all the plans were the same. You were just being forced to give your money to one company you liked less than another, or liked more than another. In that case, the law said that you had to purchase your so-called insurance through one of the exchanges set up by one of the many states. So when the red state said, hey, we're not going to set up exchanges, groups sued, it went to the Supreme Court, and John Roberts pretended that Washington, D.C. is a state. The law did not say through one of the many states or the District of Columbia. The District of Columbia is not a state. It is a city. It is decidedly not a state for reasons like that, because it would be a state devoted to government. So it's very, very important that at 1 o'clock in the morning, a leftist group went to the Supreme Court and said, please stop the mass deportation of 532,000 or so people, some of whom we have learned about, with criminal backgrounds that are inarguable. These people were all brought in without due process, just the waving of a magic auto pen by the people who ran Joe Biden. Boom, refugees. So the office of the presidency can, with an auto pen, boom, refugees. That same office can't say, boom, denied. Upon further review, denied. That doesn't stand to reason or logic at all. The Roberts Court made clear that removal under the Alien Enemies Act is not really open to judicial review. This is quoting the court. Challenges to removal under the AEA, a statute which largely precludes judicial review, Luddick versus Watkins, must be brought in habeas. Largely what? Precludes judicial review. Except for this at 1 o'clock in the morning. And they refer to a class. This is important. And I want to thank Julie Kelly for doing the quick analysis on this. I've since read the whole thing. I encourage you to. There is before the court, this is the Supreme Court, those on the majority side, including the so-called originalists. This is before the court an application on behalf of a putative class of detainees seeking an injunction against their removal under the Alien Enemies Act. This matter is currently pending before the Fifth Circuit. Upon action by the Fifth Circuit, the Solicitor General is invited to file a response to the application before this court as soon as possible. The government is directed to not to remove any member of the putative class of detainees from the United States until further order of this court. Justice Thomas and Justice Alito dissent from the court's order. Statement from Justice Alito to follow. All right, so it refers there to a class of detainees. Well, there isn't one. There's no class of detainees. No class has been established. This is, again, the Roberts Court playing make-believe. There's no class. So they just made one up. This is Justice Alito dissenting. District court never certified a class. And this court has never held that a class relief may be sought in habeas proceedings. In sum, literally in the middle of the night, the court issued unprecedented and legally questionable relief without giving the lower courts a chance to rule, without hearing from the opposing party, within 8 hours of receiving the application, with dubious factual support for its order, and without providing any explanation for its order. I refused to join the court's order because we had no good reason to think that, under the circumstances, issuing an order at midnight was necessary or appropriate. Both the executive and the judiciary have an obligation to follow the law. The executive must proceed under the terms of our order in Trump versus JGG 604 U.S., and this court should follow established procedures. The court didn't. It invented a class that doesn't exist. It did not give the opposing party due process, which is what we're told is the problem with these detainees. They are not getting their due process. It's lawlessness. Now, I said this is both important and being made too much of. This is going to go back to the Fifth Circuit. And the Supreme Court has asked to get this back as quickly as possible. But in my mind, it's a delay tactic. They're not trying to delay things for 4 years. The left intends to seize the House and the Senate in less than 2 years. It's a waiting game. It's a rope-a-dope. They want to continue to destroy the Electoral College and to cheat in elections. And they want to register these people as voters. It's self-evident. Lawlessness. God is a law, is a God of law and order, not of chaos. It's the other side who sponsors chaos. And here we are just after Resurrection Day, and Jesus will come back. This time as judge. And there's much for Jesus to judge, beginning with yours truly. I have much for which I must answer. Everything we say, everything we do is noted by God. Every decision, large and small. And there's ones that I worry about, though I know I'm saved. I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I have taken to the cross errors, sins. I've taken to the cross, and I know that once that's forgiven, God no longer sees us, he sees Jesus. I know these things, and I still don't look forward to a conversation where the Savior of all mankind, the creator of the universe, says, hey, let's talk about some things. Remember those uncomfortable conversations with your parents, or in my case, my dad never did that, but my mom? Coming home, walking in the door, and mom sitting at the kitchen table. Hi, have a seat. Oh. And my mom would say things like this, is there anything you should tell me? Wow, that's slick. I don't know. In what context, Mom? I don't know. It's good parenting. So God will have his questions for me. And the thing I don't look forward to is seeing a disappointed look. But God's coming back. Jesus comes as judge. There's a lot to judge. This is from the Daily Mail. An Ohio mayor tells an entire school board to resign or face child pornography charges after teachers gave children writing prompts to, and if you're listening with young ones, if you're listening with your children, caution, caution, caution for about 30 seconds here. Okay, I'll do the headline again. Ohio mayor tells entire school board to resign or face child pornography charges after teachers gave children a writing prompt to, quote, write a sex scene you wouldn't show your mom. The educational benefit of that is what? There's an entire class of books people buy or used to depicting sex scenes. And these teachers get this for free to take home. There's a lot to judge. There's those teachers. There's the school boards that allow this to go on. And they know it's going on. And they're causing the little ones to stumble on the way to Jesus. How? Well, because the teachers in their lives are telling them that this is perfectly fine. That all these divergent sex acts are perfectly fine. Adultery, fornication, same-sex activity, etc., all fine. Oh, and then that mean Bible, written by dead white men, though they weren't really what you would think of as classically white, I guess. White doesn't mean anything. Black doesn't mean anything. These are colors, not cultures. So this mean old Bible isn't fun like my fun teachers. There's much to judge. Taxpayers who are forced to provide money for this. Do you think that we'll be asked about that on Judgment Day? Why did your nation fund that? Well, Lord, it was Romans 13. I paid the tax. Wait, but it violated my word. Didn't that come first? Now, again, I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm saying that there's going to be Judgment Day. And I'm saying on that Judgment Day, there are great Christians, well, not great Christians. There are people who thought they were well abiding with God. Wait, didn't we perform miracles and cast out demons in your name? And the Lord Jesus says, I never knew you. Go away from me, evil ones. I never knew you. Jesus is coming back as judge. This Catholic priest explained why you can't be a practicing Catholic and be part of the Democrat Party.
You cannot be a practicing Catholic and be part of the current Democratic Party, knowing that this group is actively working for the killing of the unborn. You cannot be part of a group or an association that's focus is to bring about moral evils. This is why for centuries, the Catholic Church has made it very clear that you cannot be a Freemason, because there are foundational principles of the Freemasons that are contrary to the Catholic faith. You cannot be part of something which is essential to it, moral evils, because you cannot be part of something and not support what is essential to it, picking and choosing what you want, what you like. And you have a moral obligation not to be part of that. There is a moral obligation here not to be part of them, regardless of whatever other good things you might think the Democratic Party is trying to bring about. Murder is a line you cannot cross.
Jesus is coming back. The same Jesus who you might say meekly submitted, forgive them, Father, they know not what they do, who could have called down an entire series of battalions of angels, but chose not to. Because he is mercy, he is love, and when he comes back, he will have battalions of angels. He will defeat evil forever. So Jesus is coming back. I mean, those are some relatively easy ones. This one, I think, is far more subjective. This is my opinion. It is clearly my opinion. I want to be very, very clear about that. There's that saying that if food is not your medicine, medicine will become your food. And I want to tie this to the book of Revelation. The American Academy of Pediatrics has announced that childhood obesity is a genetic condition. They want 12-year-old little kids to have taxpayers purchase for them lifetime Ozempic shots at the first sign of becoming obese. they're lying. There are some people who are genetically inclined to obesity, but you know what will get you there really quick? Processed foods and the diet prescribed by your government. That's what will get you there. The pushing of the shots from pharma. The Greek word pharmakia appears in Galatians 5:20 and Revelation 18:23. This comes from gotquestions.com. Terms from the same root word appear in Revelation 9:21, Revelation 21:8, and Revelation 22:15. These are typically translated into English as sorcery, or witchcraft, or sorcerer. Ancient Greek uses of pharmakia closely mirror the generic modern English word drugs. The same Greek word produced English terms such as pharmacy or pharmacist. We're being told that we can see miraculous things. A generation of kids who can continue to eat sugared cereal to their heart's content, and magically, their bodies won't die. They can, in other words, have their idols and pay no cost. God is a God of law and order, and He lives in the temples He established for us when we accept Jesus, our bodies. Much more to get to as we continue. I'm Todd Herman. This is A Disciple's View. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We get to Tower Babbling and a personal note. Share with you just this look people gave me. I finally figured it out in Mexico. I'm not one who's programmed to think of things as racism. And just these looks people gave me as I was walking onto the public beach outside the resort area. This has changed me, and I really am, there's so much for Marco Rubio to think about, but I'm half convinced to try to get in front of Marco Rubio about this, because it's a simple thing, and it's also a very, very indecent thing that's going on down there. So we'll get to that, and Tower Babbling. We're just talking about pharmakia. There's an important case coming up, and that's related to pharmakia. Scott Shara has become an acquaintance, I think friend of mine. He comes on my program periodically. His daughter, Grace, and I'm using these words on purpose. After long review, after looking at all the evidence, after listening to audio evidence and reading testimony through discovery, a hospital system and employees murdered his daughter, Grace. She had Down syndrome, and he made the mistake of his life of taking her to a hospital, and they then proceeded to murder her. First by trying to obsessively put her on a ventilator, though she didn't need it because they get money to do that, by pretending that she was afflicted with COVID through a fraudulent PCR test, which didn't need to happen, then obsessively trying to sedate her, which never needed to happen, and then lying to Scott about her being sedated and lying that she was coming home, even as they were at that time giving her a cocktail of drugs you give end-stage cancer patients. A so-called doctor was on the phone with Scott lying, saying, we need to create an eating plan because it looks like Grace is coming home. They got paid every step of the way, and one investigation by a law firm who's representing another family showed that that entire sequence of events, from pretending someone had COVID to killing them, gives the hospital system $532,000. His case is proceeding. I believe it's the 21st of June. No, it's not. It's the 9th of June when the trial begins. And that has been a miraculous thing to even get to trial. So he's named the hospital systems and the individual so-called care providers in a civil assault case because he cannot bring criminal. He didn't want to do negligence. Because in a case of negligence, they can invoke their insurance. In this case, they cannot. And the fact that this is even proceeding, in my judgment, is an act of God. And it was Scott who taught me about pharmakia in the book of Revelation, magic and sorcery. On that topic, RFK Jr. says there'll be an answer for what is causing the childhood autism epidemic by September.
And we have, as you, we have now, the autism rates have gone from now, most recent numbers we think are going to be about 1 in 31. 1 in 12, so they're going up again. We are going to know by September. We've launched a massive testing and research effort that's going to involve hundreds of scientists from around the world. By September, we will know what has caused the autism epidemic, and we'll be able to eliminate those exposures.
So in the state of California, ready for this number? 1 in 12 boys is autistic. In the state of California, one of the most injected with so-called vaccines states in the country. The numbers used to be 1 in 100,000. And what's changed? Processed foods, presence of chemicals, and of course, a massive increase in the shots kids are given at such a young age. It can all seem like bad news, and yet God wins in the end, and I know that sounds banal sometimes, but one other thing, thank you to Lee Zeldin, head of the Environmental Protection Agency, who's finally taken notice of this perverse company called Make Sunsets that launches balloons into the stratosphere filled with chemicals so they can lower our aggregate temperature and block your access to the sun. People buy that as a so-called service. They're supposedly customers. Lee Zeldin finally called out this company after I've been calling them out since I learned of them a year and a half ago. So there is good news. There are changes. RFK Jr. is instituting some changes. I'm curious to see the results of his study. And one need only look at non-injection populations and see the difference. The Amish don't inject their kids. The Amish do not have autism. Correlation is not causation, but it's a good, good signal to look at. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature cult, The Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
Who doesn't love a yellow school bus?
Trans women are women, trans men are men, and non-binary people are non-binary.
If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money.
The Tower of Babbling.
Oh, three sound bites in today's Tower of Babbling. That's almost always the case, but sometimes we do have bonus episodes, don't we, or bonus clips. We'll start today with the current director of the UK, or pardon me, current dictator of the UK, Keir Starmer, bragged about arresting 400 people for their social media comments.
Over 400 people now have been arrested. 100 have been charged, some in relation to online activity, and a number of them are already in court.
Well, thank you, Keir Starmer. Finally, the world is safe when you don't have moms saying things like, immigration's getting out of control. Can't have that. Next soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. Hey, look, it's Keir Starmer again, the dictator of the UK. Keir Starmer believes a factual statement about female anatomy is so-called transphobic.
Is it transphobic to say only women have a cervix?
Well, it is something that shouldn't be said. It is not right. But Andrew, I don't think that...
So Rosie Duffield should not have said that. Can you explain to people watching why she should not have said that?
Well, Andrew, I don't think that we can just go through various things that people have said. Rosie Duffield, I spoke to Rosie earlier this week and told her that conference was a safe place for her to come.
When he says her, he means him. And it's unsafe if you point out that only women have cervixes. Now, of course, we're talking about this because the UK Supreme Court has ruled that women are women. Shocking. The actual phraseology, of course, that trans women are not women. Because they're not women, therefore they're not trans women, they're dudes. Or I'm sorry, they're blokes. Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. Janet Mills, governor of Maine, wants you to believe that girls speaking out against men invading their bathrooms in sports is a diversionary tactic.
This isn't about who plays on the playing field, as I said, on the athletic field. This is also a diversionary tactic. You know, in the media, that the current administration is taking a lot of heat in other courts across this country, including in the District of Columbia right now, and in Maryland right now, for other deprivations of due process, as alleged. So to me, these kinds of actions and press conferences are a diversionary tactic.
Diversionary, except President Trump won the presidency by being willing to state outright that no one was born in the wrong body and that men are not women. So it's hardly a diversion. It's something on which the president ran, and Democrats continue to lose. Even in the separate country of California, or countries of California and Washington, 65% of voters there believe, or rather know, that men should not be allowed to compete against women in sports or stand in their locker rooms and showers. There's a reason we call it the Tower of Babel, because I believe God has seen fit to turn these so-called leaders into babblers. Praise God. And that's a wrap for today's Tower of Babel.
Destruction of property is a perfectly viable source of protest. No harming humans, obviously. Yeah. Human life is sacred no matter whose it is. But property is, these are just things. These are just cars.
That was the Tower of Babylon on A Disciple's View.
On a personal note today, I finally figured it out. I can boil it down into how it's changed in Mexico. And if you have any access to Marco Rubio, he's got a lot on his plate. So if there's a deputy I could talk with, I really want to talk to you. We must be good neighbors. You know, I think I mentioned to you, and if I didn't, I love being in Mexico because I'm forced to use what little bits of Spanish I have often to communicate with people, and often it's on the most interesting topics. I talked to a lady who was working in a farmacia one night. I was just buying some caffeine sources. I try not to drink coffee other than my Bone Frog coffee. So I was buying a poison called Diet Coke, I admit it, or Coca-Cola Light. And this lady was listening to something on talk radio. And I could tell it was talk radio. I could tell by the delivery. I could tell it was political, though it was in Spanish. And I said to her, ¿Es podcast? Sí, es podcast. I said, ¿Qué es? What is it? Es Presidente Trump. Ah. And I said, ¿Tú me gustan el Presidente Trump? Do you like the President Trump? And she said, no me gustan, but es necesito. He's necessary? Sí, es necesito. Ah, aquí, gracias. ¿Tú me gustan el Presidente Bukele de El Salvador? Do you like the President of El Salvador? She said, sí, sí, either or, can give or take. But es necesito. So it's necessary. Sí, es necesario. ¿Por qué necesito el Presidente Trump? Why is President Trump necessary? The criminals. She said that. Fascinating. So I adore these moments. I'm cognizant of the fact that at resorts you pay to be at, people are paid to be nice to you. So when I'm greeted in the morning, mi amigo, buenos dias, mi amigo. I don't know. Maybe you're really friendly. Maybe you're paid to be friendly. Maybe you resent my presence. I don't know. I choose to be kind. And I hope I'm gracious. Here's what happens. As I had to use the public beach this time, because I stayed off the beach, I had no beach access. So before I could go running on the beach, I had to walk or run about a mile from my hotel and walk into the public beach and see the looks on the faces of Mexican citizens. Some of them just ignoring me. Others clearly displeased. Now, I'm not programmed to think of things as racism. So I'm thinking classism, the tariffs, illegal immigration, President Trump. They don't know that I'm American. Maybe they think I'm Canadian. But I finally got it in the form of a discussion with my friend Cesar, who took me to the airport. I asked him, Cesar, are you well treated at work? truly, I said, Steve is a friend of mine, but are you well-treated? I go to a place called Renew Healthcare there. Oh, senor. Oh, yes. Senor Steve's, and he talked about how well Steve treats him and how much responsibility he has, and he's got a great future at the company and really enthusiastic. And I said, what are the challenges? What are the problems with them, with those, these tourism areas, these resorts? He talked about the beach. Guys, those people who were waiting in line to go to that beach, I mean, they were paying, and I kind of knew that, but here's how much they're paying. For a family of five to go to their beach costs them a week's salary on average. And I saw their cars. These were not well-off people. I walk in because I've got a blue wristband. The law in Mexico is this. According to Cesar, these resorts have to provide a 20-meter pathway for Mexican nationals to go to their beaches. None of them do it. Most of these resorts are owned by American investors. It sickens me. My plan next time is to stay on the beach, spend a little bit of extra money, and invite every single employee of Renew Healthcare who are Mexican nationals to my hotel room for the entire stay so they can stay on their beach. To our State Department, it's a simple thing. We want Mexico to be good neighbors with us and to not allow illegal immigrants over our border. Great. Let's be good to the Mexican people. We are their top source of income from tourism. It's a very simple note to Mexican authorities and to American companies. You will provide access to the beaches for your Mexican citizens, or we will curtail our spending. I know that's a little bit political for today's personal note, but I can't tell you how my heart hurts knowing that so many Mexican families can't afford to take their kids to their beaches, but I could walk in for free. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because He first loved us, we speak His Word. We walk in the path of Jesus Christ to make disciples of all nations, until we all speak again, because God gives us permission. May His peace wash over you. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman, and this has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.